Good morning. Let us talk of discovery and abundance. I have learned that often one follows the other, revealing hidden parts of myself. And perhaps you've had the same experience. Let's talk of home, physical, spiritual, perhaps also a place where we may discover abundance, the abundance of who each of us is. My late husband, Paul, was a brilliant Renaissance man, a visual artist, a poet, a playwright, a survivor, a pioneer who used a wheelchair and breathed with the assistance of a ventilator. He lived to be 64 years old, the age that I am now, longer than any of his doctors expected, and we enjoyed 21 years of marriage together. After he passed away on New Year's Day, 2010, it seemed as if he still made all things possible for me. A new career in music therapy, a move to beautiful Peters Hill in Roslindale, my odyssey to northern New Mexico, a place I thought of as my spiritual home. While embracing the loss of my kindred spirit, my collaborator, my love, I discovered new passions that seem somehow connected to who I am and who I have always been. I come from the Stern family, S-T-E-R-N, a liberal, non-practicing Jewish family. My grandparents emigrated to New York City from Hungary, Germany, and Austria in the early 1900s. That makes us Ashkenazi Jews, that is, Jews from Eastern Europe, as opposed to the Sephardic Jews, who are from Spain, Portugal, the Middle East, and Northern Africa. As a child of the 1950s and 60s, music, drama, and dance became my passions. I studied voice, piano, ballet, and participated in school plays. Harmonizing came easy to me as I listened to The Weavers and Pete Seeger. My sense of rhythm developed from my exposure to recordings of Thelonious Monk and Ella Fitzgerald. I watched the Black Civil Rights Movement come to life, but I was too young to participate. I was ripe, however, for the next wave of civil rights, feminism, and the independent movement, living movement for disabled people. While enrolled at UMass Boston's Human Service Program, I met Paul. We collaborated on writing projects, demonstrations at the State House to protect services for disabled citizens, and a film project about Lisa Thorson, a jazz singer who uses a wheelchair, and she teaches at Berkeley. Paul's family was similar to mine, non-practicing Ashkenazi Jews who felt strongly about the arts and social justice. After we married, I enjoyed holidays with his family, like Rosh Hashanah and Passover. I realized we were secular Jews who could embrace apples and honey for the new year, sing Christmas carols because they are so beautiful, and write our own Haggadah of the Passover story. Toward the end of Paul's life, he supported my decision to explore a career in music therapy. And after he died, I enrolled at Lesley University as a master's level expressive therapy student. I was given many opportunities to reflect on my life, our marriage, the grieving process, and my commitment to serving marginalized peoples. 6 months after Paul died, our friend Ron brought me to his adobe home in the small village of Las Vegas in northern New Mexico. That early summer of 2010, I openly wept and grieved as vast landscapes of red clay, infinite blue skies, and layers of desert mountain peaks revealed themselves from Las Vegas to Santa Fe and Taos. Here, I met artists of Hispano, Pueblo, French, and Anglo descent who reflected the openness of the land on canvas, in tin bultos, in wooden carvings, and in their welcoming gestures. Over the next few summers, I became intrigued and captivated by this magical landscape. At the local bookshop, Tome on the Range, I even found historical books about the role Ashkenazi Jews played in the development of the Southwest during the pioneer days of the 1870s. I hungered for more information. Fortunately, in the summer of 2013, I was able to take a course in Santa Fe sponsored by Lesley University called Cultures of the Southwest. While our class toured the Fine Arts Museum in Santa Fe, I did a double take at a wooden sculpture of Our Lady of Guadalupe with a Star of David above her head. The wall text explained that this work by Richard Romero was a tribute to his crypto-Jewish ancestors. The next morning, when we met with state historian Mark Simmons, I asked him to explain what crypto-Judaism was. He referred me to Stanley Horde's book, To the End of the Earth. I learned that crypto is the Greek word for hidden or buried. All over the world, at critical junctures like the Spanish Inquisition and the Holocaust during World War II, Jewish people have had to hide their identities in order to escape from persecution, incarceration, and death. These are the crypto-Jews and their descendants. For example, John Cohen of Czechoslovakia converted his family from Judaism to Catholicism in the 1930s and emigrated to Ireland. Today, his grandson is known as John Kerry, former Secretary of State. Dr. Horde, as an historian, had studied the crypto-Jewish communities of South America before he was named New Mexico's historian in 1984. When people learned of his background, practicing Catholic New Mexicans walked into Dr. Horde's office and said, "For generations, my family has lit candles on Friday nights, and we never knew why." Dr. Horde realized he had another crypto-Jewish population on his hands. Many Jews escaped the Spanish Inquisition of the 1400s and 1500s by traveling with explorers to the New World, populating Mexico and what is now New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. Priests were sent to these areas to find and convert the Jews. With the help of genetic markers and the inquisitorial records in Mexico City and Madrid, Dr. Horde and now many others helped descendants of crypto-Jews recover their Jewish ancestry. This is a hot topic all over New Mexico. I was bowled over. I just wanted to learn more. I couldn't let go of this topic. But why? So my academic advisor suggested I write my dissertation about crypto-Judaism and music therapy. Although there was plenty of anthropological literature about crypto-Judaism, I could find nothing in the psychological or expressive therapy fields. I was following Paul's footsteps. I was a pioneer. I interviewed one participant, Sonia Loya, who allowed me to identify her because she is so well known in the Southwest and on National Public Radio, it's very difficult to hide her identity. In today's reading, you heard her questioning Catholicism, yearning for a ritualistic bath, and expressing her comfort in the synagogue. Sonia, who is a glassblower, jewelry maker, and studying to be a rabbi, traveled to Madrid and found her ancestors in the inquisitorial records, who were also artists, artisans, and rabbis. The hamza that I wear is made by Sonia. She converted to Judaism and founded the Hebrew Learning Center, where she helps other Anusim, or crypto-Jews, come to terms with their Jewish ancestry. Last year, I presented my thesis findings at the 2016 Society for Crypto-Judaic Studies Conference in Santa Fe. Here, I met many Anusim from all over the world whose stories echoed Sonia's. Artists, scholars, writers, healers, poets, rabbis, priests. There is one priest in Albuquerque who blows the shofar, the ram's horn, every Rosh Hashanah. My topic was, would music therapy be effective for descendants of crypto-Jews experiencing identity conflict? And participants answered with a resounding yes. I also met Maria Sanchez, a psychotherapist and Anusim, who spoke about residual psychological trauma left from the Inquisition. Maria and many other conference participants confirmed my suspicions that identity conflicts exist and that historical trauma among the Anusim also exists. Remember Sonia's dreams. Most importantly, I met a community of people, many of whom I shared much in common, non-practicing Ashkenazi Jews, originally from the Northeast, who held a lasting fascination and urged to help the emerging community of Anusim in New Mexico. Conference panelists welcomed us and stressed how important it is for Ashkenazi Jews, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, practicing and non-practicing Jews to support the Anusim. I learned that not all descendants of crypto-Jews react the same upon learning about their heritage. Usually one person in a crypto-Jewish family converts to Judaism, while the rest of the family remains Catholic. More often than not, the Jewish convert is ostracized by some or all family members. Charlie Carrillo, an anthropologist from New Mexico University, told of finding a Tabasco flask from Spanish colonial times with a Mogendavid, a Star of David, upon the back. He said, "I'm a practicing Catholic who embraces my crypto-Judaic heritage." The conference's art exhibit paid homage to 400 years of hiding. I noticed common themes, traditional Jewish symbols, fire, water, the heart. I call this collective creative memory. Another artist, Jacobo de la Serna, uses micaceous clay in his sculptures to honor his Indo-Hispano-Jewish heritage. Micaceous clay is clay that's mixed with crushed mica and is used by many Pueblo Indians in New Mexico. I felt as if I had met my people, my new home, and was ready to move to New Mexico to pursue my new passion. At the conference, I met Ben Greenspan, a geneticist, and asked him whether he thought those of Portuguese descent here in Massachusetts could be of crypto-Jewish descent. He explained that many Portuguese traveled to Martha's Vineyard in the 1700s to escape the Inquisitions. So it is possible. A Jewish friend of mine said recently, "Just look at the Portuguese sweetbread. It's holly, you know." My brother also reminded me of the many Massachusetts citizens from the Cape Verdean Islands who speak Portuguese. At a party in Jamaica Plain, I met a woman who grew up as a Catholic here in Massachusetts, but she said, "I never felt Catholic, so I recently converted to Judaism. I wonder." And last spring, at the regional conference of the American Music Therapy Association in Connecticut, when I presented my findings and showed a video of the Don Gato song, which I sang to you earlier, one of the participants was in tears. "I haven't heard that song since I was little," she said. She knew she had Jewish ancestry, but she was forbidden from talking about it within her family. I have decided not to move to New Mexico after all. It would mean too much upheaval, starting my life from scratch again and finding out what home means. I'm at home here on Peter's Hill, where it seems I can follow my passions. My spiritual home is here in this church, and my spiritual space will always be in northern New Mexico. One of the biggest surprises of all is that I appear to be a scholar of this subject. You never know what will happen if you leave yourself open to discovery and possibility. I still ask myself why this subject captured my imagination, and I guess the answer lies in childhood. I have found another marginalized population that needs support for its very identity. I have met people who, although afraid to confront difficult questions and face historical horrors, have questioned authority and are now healing generations of their families. As a child, if I asked my mother questions about our family and Judaism, she would say, "That's in the past, it's not important now." I beg to differ. My goal is to work with descendants of crypto-Jews who embrace Judaism, those who prefer to practice Catholicism, those who need healing from the trauma of what they learn about their ancestors, to offer support to those who are confused about where they belong in the world, and help those experiencing conflicts within their families, their communities, and themselves, to support people like myself who have always been seeking home. What about you? What does home mean to you? Do you talk with others about your spiritual home, how you discovered who you are and where you belong? If you are not sure what home means to you, I invite you to delve into your own culture. Trust your inner being. Follow your heart. Get support, financial and emotional, and find mentors. How do the arts, politics, religion, cultures, and many other aspects of your life contribute to who and where you are? May you discover an abundance of spirituality, emotional resonating with all of your senses, revealing your true self. Spirituality isn't just about what you believe, after all. It's about who you are.